Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
An Erio's original.
The thing with me and roller coasters that's really weird is what I'm obsessive about is cataloging them.
Interesting. Go on.
I like to make lists of things. Mm-hmm. So I'll ride them and I have a spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. And I will sort out like who designed them. It's almost like having an interest in architecture, except it's like a very weird juvenile branch of architecture.
Welcome to Filling the Void, which is a podcast I do where I talk to people about what they do for pure joy, their hobbies, no agenda driven things, nothing you make money from, just the fun of doing something for your life that you like and don't care what anybody else thinks. Okay, so today we're interviewing a person who is like one of my idols. She's so amazing. She inspires me so much. I always say this person is my career ideal. I aspire to be like her in terms of how prolific she is, how she is so herself with all of her work. She has a family like I do, and she just fucking keeps it real. And like, this is the first time I've ever met her. It was today. She came to my house. We're sitting in my bedroom, and she's so cool. And I'm going to tell you her name right now because she's going to say it herself. Here she is.
The tremendously grateful Diablo Cody.
Right?
Thank
you. How cool is that?
That was
Diablo
too
Cody
kind.
Is here.
Too kind.
So I was going to guess your hobby, Diablo Cody. I don't want to.
You don't want to guess my hobby?
Like a real unknown one. I mean, I would say I think you're into horror movies.
I do like horror movies. Yes. I wrote one. It flopped. I have not attempted that feat again, but I do still enjoy horror movies. That experience did not leech the joy out of the horror movie experience for me.
That's awesome. And you wrote a horror movie because, in my opinion and in my heart, I felt you just had such a love for the genre that you were like, this is going to be my next movie. I'm writing a horror movie. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And it wasn't during a time where horror movies were popping off like they are now.
I know. It is kind of a different market right now. I do feel like it would be easier to kind of try and get back into horror, but at the same time, I'm like reluctant. I'm a little bit tender still from that experience. So
interesting.
I'm a big pussy. Are we allowed to swear?
Yeah. I mean, are we?
Yeah, okay.
Wait, you feel sensitive?
I am a very sensitive person, yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm like, I bet Diablo Cody doesn't give a fuck about what anybody thinks, and she doesn't care, and she doesn't even read reviews, and she doesn't even like go to any parties because she's like, fuck Hollywood and doesn't care.
You're
about
right
anyone.
About a couple of those things. I actually don't read reviews because I've actually heard this is a narcissistic trait where there's people who like criticism like tears them apart and they literally can't handle it. And that's me. Like if I read something negative, it will echo in my mind for days. And I also don't really see the value in reading positive things because I just don't think anyone's ever become a better artist because they got fluffed. I wish I could be one of those people who's like, I don't read them because I don't give a shit. The problem is I give a total shit. So.
I think if somebody were to say, I don't give a shit, I wouldn't believe them. Who doesn't really care what people think?
I do know some people in this industry who can read the reviews in this sort of detached way. It's not to say it doesn't affect them in the least, but they're capable of consuming all of it and not spiraling. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a fascinating trait that I personally do not possess.
And you don't go to parties.
You were right about that.
How come?
I'll hit one occasionally. Like recently we got invited to one at Jeff Bezos's house and I was like, I'm fucking going because I wanted to see the house. Do you know
right,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, this is the richest dude in the world. So I went and drank. And
wait, who is that again?
He's the Amazon. Yes.
Oh,
he's the richest man in the world.
What is his house like?
Well, it was one of his houses. You know, this is like somebody who has like a million. I don't know if this was his main residence, but it was this gigantic, sick ass hacienda like situation. Do you know what I mean?
Where, in LA.
Yeah. It looks like a resort in Palm Springs.
Like what street? No, I'm kidding.
No, I know.
Like what?
No, it was, yeah. I mean, it would be like living at like the Ritz in Cancun. It was the vibe.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was really cool. But like, you know, Jennifer Lopez is there and like Brad Pitt. And I unapologetically love to like gawk at celebrities. You know, I will enjoy doing something like that, but I'm in the corner the entire time, backed up. I do not mingle. Like I don't talk to anyone. If I see someone I know, I hide. Oh my God, the worst. If I can see someone that I know like and have warm feelings for and hide, like it just stresses me out.
Even if you're with your husband?
Oh my God, the problem is in therapy, I think they would call it a folie à deux where we're both like that.
Uh-huh.
He's even more sort of withdrawn than I am. So yeah, we'll go. We'll just kind of hang out and take it in, and then we leave. But I do not network or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Celebrities are really like seeing a Brad Pitt or a Jennifer Lopez. I'm like, don't look directly at them.
Like
it's so intimidating and exciting. Last night Paul and I went to see Carrie at the Egyptian,
mm-hmm.
and Paul went early to save seats because he's a nerd, but very sweet. And he was like, he texted me and he was like, Stephen King is here. And I was like, oh my God, looking around for a book. Which one am I going to bring for him to sign on writing Pet Sematary? Like,
yeah,
so excited. And then,
that's a biggie.
And then Paul was like, might be he just kind of looked like him. It wasn't Stephen King. I'm a nerd. Never mind.
That's funny.
And then we went and Paul was like, that's the guy. And he did have a Stephen King slouch and like his profile. Like I could see how Paul would think that, but without even seeing the face, he claimed King, which was crazy to me. And Paul was like, I thought it would be crazy for him to come to a screening of Carrie at the Egyptian, all the way from Maine. And
that's what I was thinking. I was like, Stephen King came in from Maine to watch Carrie?
He probably would have been here for other things.
Yeah, that's true.
Is what I would think.
I love that movie so much.
It is a perfect movie. And it was so good seeing it on the big screen. I never had. And
yeah, no, I don't think, I certainly haven't.
It just was so, it was really good. And
did you know that when PJ Souls gets knocked out with that hose, That she was really unconscious?
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I love that movie. I'm especially obsessed with the score, which
it's
like
so good.
It's so good. It's so weird. Yeah, that one is like high on my. And I also saw that movie at a really young age. It was like unbelievably inappropriate for me to see. And you know how those movies specifically get burned in your brain?
Yes.
Because you're like, just that first scene where they're all in the shower, I was like scandalized, you know?
I do have that. Mine was Poltergeist.
Oh, yeah.
Like I saw that way too young. And it's changed my life, and it's my favorite movie.
It's an incredible movie.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm a bad mother. My 8-year-old wanted to see it, and I let him watch it recently.
That's fine.
He said he didn't think it was that scary. And I was like, are you out of your fucking mind? I was like, I'm still scared of that movie, and I'm 40 years old. He was just like, I don't know. It's a clown doll. Like, it's kind of goofy. I was like, oh my God, dude. He is less neurotic than me by far. Like, he's really fucking cool.
What if he's desensitized because of like Slender Man?
That was kind of what freaked me out. Is I was like, oh, are you just seeing so much like casual violence on like, YouTube or whatever, or Fortnite, that Poltergeist isn't frightening.
Was he trying to be cool?
No. The crazy thing about him is, like, I was terrified of everything as a child. Like, terrified. To the point where I can't believe my parents didn't get me, like, professional help. Because you shouldn't have a kid who stays home sick anytime there's a breeze outside because I thought, like, trees were going to blow over on me. Like, crazy phobias. And my son is the opposite. He would get on, like, a motorcycle with a, like, escaped inmate right now and, like, go off into the sunset and maybe write me occasionally.
So you would get scared of everything.
I was scared of everything. I would have been terrified of your adorable dog when I was a kid. Like,
really?
Everything.
So then we gather here today because...
I'm dead.
We gather here today because Diablo, I heard a rumor. Like, I didn't read anything about this. I just, a friend of a friend, I think, was like, oh, I heard Diablo Cody's into roller coasters. You should interview her about her hobby of loving roller coasters. So that, see, like, I'm the same, whereas I would get scared when I was younger of everything, but I sort of like to scare myself. I get like a weird cocaine rush from it, but I'm very scared of roller coasters. Whereas you would have been scared of my dog, who's like a big golden doodle, but very sweet, but you love roller coasters.
Which I do.
They're fucking so scary. How'd you get from there to there?
I think there's actually a weird connection because I was terrified of them as a kid. Like, I was the last kid that was going to get on a roller coaster.
Right.
And then when I was like hit sort of adolescence, there was like a few things that changed about my personality. I had like a reboot that I think was, this is becoming so therapeutic, but I think it was related to my brother moving out of the house and going to college. And suddenly this like really sort of complicated shadow was out of my life. And I just suddenly became like a much more outgoing person. I started trying shit and I stopped being so afraid. And there was a group of kids going to Six Flags in like eighth grade. You know, it was like the cool thing to do. And I didn't want to be the pussy, especially since there were going to be boys there and like male approval is my drug.
Right.
So I was like, I'm just going to do it. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I loved the roller coasters were great. That was fun. That was thrilling. The thing with me and roller coasters that's really weird is what I'm obsessive about is cataloging them.
Interesting. Go on.
I like to make lists of things. Mm-hmm. So I'll ride them and I have a spreadsheet and I will sort out like who designed them. It's almost like having an interest in architecture, except it's like a very weird juvenile branch of architecture.
No, it's fascinating. And also it is, they are architecturally amazing. Like,
they're totally amazing.
So you will hear about a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And you'll make a spreadsheet. Tell me your process.
The problem is like this whole hobby kind of became impossible for me after I had kids. There's just something like so profoundly ridiculous and selfish about a mom being like, hey guys, I'll see you in 3 days. I have to go to Six Flags in Houston because I need to ride this new roller coaster without you. Like, and everyone's like, well, take them with you. I'm like, pain in the ass, 5 airfares, not fucking worth it.
Right.
So I don't do it anymore. I do still go out to Magic Mountain if they get something new or like, you know, local. And I do take my oldest son with me because he's into it now.
So before you had kids, which was, I don't know, 8 years ago or whatever.
Yeah. The best way to get a lot of credits, as we call them in the coastering world, is you have to, is to sign up for a trip with other enthusiasts where you have a big bus and you all go from park to park and ride everything.
Oh,
and
there's like a scene?
Oh, you have no idea.
There really are
like warring factions. There are there is gossip. There's drama. There is competitions. Who's going to get this credit first in Dubai?
What?
Oh my God, it's a whole thing. I can't believe there's not a documentary about this world. Like there probably should be.
You should probably make it.
Maybe you're right. Oh my God.
No. A documentary, you know, because we want to see it. That's like why, like,
yeah.
Forget podcasts.
So the
old news. No, tell. Yeah.
So the established group that have been around forever is ACE, the American Coaster Enthusiasts.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
The established group that's been around forever are the American Coaster Enthusiasts, or ACE.
Oh.
And they kind of have a reputation. Watch me get dragged for this by ACE. But like they kind of have a reputation for being like super old. Fat dudes who wear these like satin jackets covered in like patches of amusement parks.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's like a very...
Those jackets sound cool.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe I don't have one.
Yeah.
But patch jacket is almost like an insult in the coastering world because it means you're like... it means you're like,
You care too much?
No, it's sort of like I'm trying to find an equivalent in a different hobby. But
like a bowling league?
Yeah, there's like sort of like an old guard.
Uh-huh.
And then there's like young people who have a life outside of it and are like a little more irreverent, perhaps.
Right. So like the old timers are like, this isn't the Cyclone. And
yeah. And you know what? I'm a little bit like that. I'm kind of a purist. Like, I don't like when they tear down old coasters, even if they suck, even if they're like so rough that they can't be ridden anymore. It makes me sad when I hear about a demolition. Whereas like most younger people in the community just want bigger, better, faster, newer, don't give a shit about, you know, history. Mm. And I do tend to be more of the.
Okay. So that's fair. I like that.
I am kind of a patch jacket in a way, I guess.
So Ace?
There's Ace. Mm-hmm. And then the trips that I took were with a different group. I did a couple of tours and we would, yeah, you'd be on like a big bus and go around. Like one year I did the Deep South. One year I did Canada.
What are the other troops called?
Oh, the group?
Like
the club?
Like there's Ace and what?
The club I went with was called Theme Park Review. They don't do tours anymore, but it was amazing because you would literally all you did was ride roller coasters. And for me, it was just like a, almost like a collecting binge.
And you would get on a bus in, let's say, California and drive to...
Yeah, I mean, like, you just...
Set through the South?
You definitely went through some, like, and it was not glamorous.
Right. I don't imagine it was.
But, yeah. And the weirdest thing about it is, like, there are very, very, very few female coaster enthusiasts. I don't know why it's like a male dominated thing, but it is.
That is interesting to me because I know so many, as many women who love roller coasters as dudes. I mean, I guess maybe I just know more women. I'm friends with more women at this point, but like, so what age do you need to be to start this coastering
scene? You just have to be tall enough to go on the rides.
So you'd be on these buses with kids?
No. So that was the thing. Because these were like overnight tours, I think you had to be 18 to really be a part of it. But I've gone to events where there's kids.
Right.
If I'd gotten into it as a kid, I don't think my mom and dad would have been willing to like drag me around the country to ride whatever I wanted.
Right.
You know, I think they, and especially when you're a child, your interests are always like kind of blown off. Everybody thinks everything's a phase.
Yes.
Especially if it's something so goofy as fucking roller coasters. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's a... But yeah, you'll meet a kid occasionally. And there's also some like really old people and like...
Well, Ace.
Yeah, in Ace, exactly. And there's some like...
But you're friends with some of the people in Ace?
I've been like online buddies with some people in Ace, yeah.
Okay, wait. Let's slow down for a second. Backtrack a little bit.
Yeah.
Your brother is how much older than you?
He's 4 years older than me.
So you're a freshman in high school and he's going to college.
Yeah.
And you're like, who am I? What am I into?
My entire identity was based on like, I hate to talk about him on here because we're in a good place right now. But my brother was very disruptive, is how I'll put it. Just our days in the house were sort of very subject to his moods.
I understand.
So when he left, I realized my whole life I had always been like the good kid, the easy one.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized like I'm actually not good or easy at all. I'm actually like a kind of a disruptive person myself.
But I never was
able to be that because that slot had always been occupied.
Do you think that you being afraid of everything was sort of like your thing that helped you get attention?
No.
Okay.
I think it was like
genuine.
Something that my brother made happen. Like he would, any like if I showed a sign of fear at anything, he would exacerbate it. And just, you know, it was a chew toy for him.
Right. Look, I have an older sister and I love her and no one wants to talk shit about their family members, but it is a thing like growing up, older siblings, younger siblings, like it's not, trauma doesn't only belong to your parents. Like it's not just, you know, there's stuff. There's a lot of stuff there with siblings. It's an interesting relationship.
There is. And it's like fascinating to me when people have like a perfect sibling relationship because I know a few of those and I'm like, what is that like?
Same.
Yeah. Like it just must be, I don't know. Like, because it was always complicated for us.
Same. Yeah, for sure. So your brother goes to school. You're a freshman in high school, and this is your first year, right? You start high school in ninth grade, and you're like...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow. It's just me and my parents. I'm not that good. I'm not that nice. I'm not that easy. What do you mean by not that easy?
Like, I had just always been like the kid that they didn't have to worry about.
Right.
Who was just, I was always in my room writing or making paper dolls or coloring or painting or, you know, I was just very creative and very quiet and very sort of anxious and just not demanding, I guess, which is, I think, it's easy, you know, it's definitely true that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And so it's like when you're the kid who needs less, you just kind of are able to blend.
Right.
Honestly, if I'd been like an only child, I think I would have been like a hellion. I actually don't think I'm like, you know, I don't think I'm like a monster or anything, but like, I'm definitely not the sort of tiptoeing around person that I was as a child.
Right.
Because that was just the environment.
And did that all sort of start to blossom around, well, you said eighth grade, your friends went to Six Flags, right?
But yeah. And at the same time, I like discovered punk music,
right?
Which, like, blew my world apart.
Yeah.
I just suddenly realized there was this whole kind of world I didn't know about and this person that I could be.
Totally.
And it was like the best feeling.
And then you're like, I love roller coasters, among other things.
Yeah.
Did you do these tours when you were in high school?
No. I didn't even go on my first tour until I was in my late 20s because I never had the freedom to like get off work or do anything like that. It actually wasn't until I became like a professional writer that I was able to do this.
Interesting.
I always had jobs. I always had like, I was always very tethered to a life.
Right.
I've never had like a flexible situation in my life until I suddenly stumbled into the world of screenwriting.
It wasn't even after you wrote and published your book or your blog.
After I wrote my book, I took a job at City Pages in Minneapolis, which is like the All Weekly.
Mm-hmm.
I was their arts editor, and I wrote reviews, and which I think karma has come back to bite me in the ass. But after that, it was like there was like a very weird few years where I was sort of traveling from Minneapolis to LA all the time and sort of living in two places. And then I was like, then I got like divorced from my first husband who lived in Minnesota. Like, it was just like,
wow.
My late 20s were like tumultuous. But,
yeah, it's an interesting time for all of us, I think, or many of us. Saturn's return, you know about that?
Yeah, you know what? I didn't know about it when it was happening, and now I do. And I'm like, oh my God, I had that like
me too
extreme.
In my late 20s, I wrote a book and then nothing happened. So I was like, what am I going to do? I thought after I wrote a book that the world was going to roll out a red carpet for me. And like, no, it just... I worked at a hotel and worked retail. Like, none of that happened. Like, nothing. And I went to get my CASAC, which is a New York State substance abuse counseling certification, because I was like, I don't know if I can make it as a writer. I went to these classes and I was like, I can get into this because it's just talking about drugs. And I like talking about drugs and learning about drugs. But it turns out I don't find them very boring. And I would just write about the people in my class because they were so
cool. That's
the
thing I was
going
to say. I bet this whole exercise made you a better writer for sure.
Yeah. And I was like, this is what I want to do. I need to make a commitment and do it no matter what. But it was all from 27 to 30. Like, I didn't move out here until I was 32 or 33 or something. But anyway, so it's sort of like yours. I mean, if I did know you'd been married before, I forgot. And I know stuff about your younger years from your book, but like,
my book is so skanky.
Candy
I'm
Girl.
So ashamed of it. I so wish I could like. I mean, pull of
Dear Diary.
Of print.
Me too. With Dear Diary. Yeah, yeah. Like I tell people, don't read it because it's like not. Because we're better writers now, and it's
well. That's the thing. I think people think I'm telling them not to read it because it has like dirty stripping stuff in it, and that's not it. I could care less about that. Yes, I believe my writing has improved since the book came out, and yeah. That's what's embarrassing.
I feel the same way about Dear Diary. Plus, there's a lot of pop culture vicey kind of stylistic things in there, and they don't hold up well. They don't stand the test of time. Like talking about Bush, like fuck Bush. Nobody cares anymore. Like,
isn't it fascinating though? Remember how like fucking fired up we were about Bush?
Yeah,
like,
we hated Bush.
Yeah, like almost an American idiot in my fucking cubicle. I'm like, I mean, it's like,
yeah, totally.
And now it's like everyone's like, I kind of miss Bush. Like,
I know. Wait, there was like a thing. Like La Tigra was all about like fuck Bush. Like all of their they had like custom made dresses that were like fuck Bush, and there was like put something about your pussy in a book, like.
Yeah, I remember the slogan. I just there's can't think
slogan.
Of what it was.
Yeah, it was such a huge deal. And now it's like, what am I making references to? Food Not Bombs. Like, no one understands these, whatever.
It's a slice of life, though. Like, at the very least, it's a document of the time, you know?
Totally. And that said, though, I do think that Candy Girl is really well written. Like, I...
Thank you.
It's
mean-spirited.
That.
That's my other issue with it. And I'm not like that anymore. I would want to like meet all those girls and like get to know them,
right.
Help them babysit. I just am a different person now.
I hear that.
I was just like selfish and tone deaf. I don't know. I feel like I'm a very late bloomer. And I think at 25, I had the maturity of like a seventh grader.
Well, that's fair. 25-year-olds are children. No offense to anyone who I'm friends with that's 25. But so you were coming out here to LA, you kind of got into screenwriting, blah, blah, blah. We don't have to talk about your career, but then you made some money. And so you were like, I'm going on a coaster tour.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to go. Exactly. Because I'd always wanted to do it, always. And I was like,
really?
I know this is going to be
weird. How'd you hear about it?
Because of the internet. You know, you're on this, I'm always on all kinds of message boards.
Totally.
Still am. And it was like, so yeah, I was like, I'm going
to
do it.
I'm just trying to stay caught up with everything. So you've always wanted to go on a tour. You've been like on the online coaster scene, and you've been to like California and like Midwest, like local coasters.
Yeah, yeah. I had been, if I was near one, I'd go to it, or if I was on a road trip and I passed one, everybody would have to pull over. But like, I hadn't ever done this targeted.
And you went by yourself or with a friend or a boyfriend or what?
I went by myself. So I was just on a bus with like 50 strangers that were all, I mean, there was nobody like me.
Yeah. Were you, what kind of people were they?
It's interesting. There was a mix of like really, yeah. And I hope this isn't like offensive. There's because it's something that I've wondered about myself, but there are a lot of people who are on the spectrum in this hobby because there's something very satisfying about the details and the collecting. And the lists.
And so you're not the only one who does these lists.
Oh, no. There's a lot of it. Yeah. And you can get into like arguments about the minutiae of things, which there's a lot of mansplaining, which is very frustrating. Like I won an argument once and I was so angry because I was right all along and it was over the stupidest thing. And guys just, you know how they are?
Yeah.
Especially guys that don't really have the strongest social skills.
Yes.
Yeah, they're just like shouting over you. It's similar to like tech geeks.
Yeah, it's so annoying. And so, also they're wrong.
Exactly. So it was,
Do you remember what it was about? You do.
Yeah. We were arguing about whether a specific coaster had a linear induction motor or a linear synchronous motor. And I was right. But there's different, you know how there's some roller coasters that go up a hill like with a chain and then they go down?
Yes.
You don't ride them though, but you know.
I know.
And then there's some that just blast out of the station. They launch, right?
Yeah.
So they have to launch them a certain way. And some of them use like air propulsion. Uh-huh. Some of them use like a linear induction motor. Some of them actually use brute force. Like they'll just drop a fucking weight, some old ones. And so that's very interesting to me. Don't get me started.
So, but that, does that have anything to do with your actual experience on the roller coaster?
It does.
How so?
Because it's a way of stepping inside the interest in a strange way. Mm-hmm. Like, if your interest was math, wouldn't it be cool if you could walk into the equation?
Yes.
Like, it's a way of actually being able to ride the fact.
Right. So, if you're on, like, an old chain-linked roller coaster, you know that, and you're like, okay, I feel that chain. I'm in that chain.
There's people who are just into lift hills. They'll post pictures of lift hill porn. Or like, yeah, I mean, like any detail you can think of. There's people that are into brake runs.
What's a brake run?
That's like, so a lot of the time, if you're on a roller coaster in the middle, it'll slow down. Uh-huh. And then it'll get going again into the fun shit.
Right.
The slowdown has to happen for safety reasons because another train is coming.
Right.
So everything has to be timed perfectly or they'll all slam into each other.
Right.
So that's why. And then sometimes they'll add brakes to roller coasters as they get older to reduce wear and tear on the tracks. And we always know when that's happened. So you'll go on the message board and you'll be like, guys, Demon at Six Flags Great America is heavily braked this year. And everyone will be like, no. Like,
whoa. So
yeah, like you can always tell the difference.
What's your favorite part?
My favorite part of
a roller coaster.
I love negative G's. I like airtime, which is when you fly out of your seat. I like being launched out of the seat.
So does that happen when you go upside down or it happens?
No, you actually experience positive G's when you're upside down.
Uh-huh.
Negative G's, it usually happen on a
that's for gravity
hill. Yes, they call them airtime hills. So if you fly over a small hill, and especially if you have a train loaded with fat people, which most of us in the industry are not small, or most of us in the roller coaster community are bigger people.
Will you wait to get on
eat tons of cotton candy and chicken fingers.
Ride that you know the group is going to have more weight?
We've specifically herded obese dudes onto the trains to get the weight going.
So it goes faster?
It goes way faster.
Oh, wow. I think fear is like really your hobby.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because like, I don't know. I don't know if you feel fear when you go on roller coasters. It seems like there's something else there that like the architecture.
I wish I could find one that still scares me. Unfortunately, really? I have been on so many that it's like I don't get the butterflies anymore.
What about that one? Okay, so do water parks count?
Yeah.
What about that one where the kid got his head cut off?
Oh my God. That's just horrifying.
It's the thing so upsetting we don't have to talk about it.
It's so fucked up. The thing that's scary about water parks is that they're not regulated the way amusement parks are.
Why?
So I'm shocked like more people don't die on water. Like it's insane to me because roller coasters could not be more safe. The amount of just daily checks and maintenance that are done on roller coasters, like there is absolutely no reason to be nervous about riding one ever. Like they walk those tracks every morning and check every fucking bolt.
Yeah. Have you ever been on a roller coaster that malfunctioned or broke down?
No, weirdly, I haven't. Knock wood. It's funny. Like some enthusiasts like totally get off on having to evacuate.
Wow.
Like there's people who are like jealous of people that have gotten to walk down like the scary little stairs on totally. The hill. I do not want to do that.
Right.
I did do a track walk once.
Uh-huh.
I went up there with the maintenance people just to do it and it was really scary.
What do you like more, riding the roller coaster or researching
by far.
Oh, really?
I always prefer in every hobby that I have is like sort of research oriented.
So tell me what this research looks like. For example, let's say, what's the scariest roller coaster in the U.S. right now?
The scariest one is weirdly here. It's probably X2 at Magic Mountain.
Right. I've heard Paul and his friends talk about X2.
It's scary.
Have you been on it?
Many, many times.
Okay.
Many, many, many.
And you made a spreadsheet. You were like, you heard about this and you were like, off to the races.
I was very excited to try that one.
You knew the architect. You're familiar with her work.
You know what's such a bummer is that ride actually killed an entire company.
Why?
It was the last roller coaster manufactured by Aero because it is such a costly folly. It's just an incredibly complicated machine. And there's only one other coaster like it in the world, in Japan, and then they just didn't make any more.
What's the big whoop?
The big whoop is you're hanging off the side of the track uh-huh. in like a free swinging kind of harness, and you flip while the roller coaster is going through the circuit. So your body is flipping freely. Ugh. Actually, not freely. The flipping is programmed, but your uh-huh. body is flipping, and while the roller coaster is also doing crazy roller coaster-esque things.
Right.
And it's also extremely rough. Like,
really?
Like,
whiplash.
Like, could give you an injury, yes.
And you're like, this is what it would feel like to be in a tornado.
Yes. It's really probably, like, the most intense experience that, like, you can handle without going to space. That's pretty crazy. that ride.
That sounds really crazy. Do you close your eyes or open them?
Open, because I'm interested in the track layout. But it's hard. That one, it doesn't even matter what you do because you just don't know where you are. It's just crazy.
You are familiar with the architects, manufacturers, companies who make certain kinds of coasters.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
Yeah. I mean, this guy, Schwarzkopf, or Herr Achterbahn, as they call him, Mr. Roller Coaster, he's this German guy who designed all these really classic, beautiful, graceful roller coasters. And there, a few of them are portable. So they'll bring them out every year for like Oktoberfest.
Huh.
And they're very intense. Positive G's. Like, you can black out on those.
You said you can black out?
Yeah, because if you pull, you know, more than a few G's, you'll black out. And like sometimes people do on his ride specifically. Positive G's aren't really my thing, but his coasters are so beautiful. They're really, really beautiful.
Mm.
So
they look beautiful.
Yes, they look beautiful. And it's incredible that for decades now they've been assembled and moved and they work.
Are there any, what are some in this country? Are there any?
Yeah, there's lots of Schwarzkopfs in this country, actually.
What's one?
Let me think. One of my favorite ones is actually in Chicago, and it's called the Whizzer, and it's just an old Schwarzkopf, and it's a really simple model, but it's a lot of kids. I grew up in that area, so it's a lot of kids' first coaster there. It just goes up the hill, around a helix, and it's very, like, I don't know, it's nostalgic for me.
I like the names of roller coasters.
I do too, but I think I could do better.
What would you name your roller coaster if you could design one?
Hmm. Oh my God, that's such a hard question.
Yeah.
The problem with is that they just recycle names all the time. How many more coasters can you name like Firehawk? Do you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. Like, oh, you know what's great? There's one in England named Rita. And I'm like, giving a fucking roller coaster
awesome.
A woman's name is rad. Like, I respect Rita Queen of Speed, which is like a fucking band name.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me some other names you like of roller coasters.
Is it uncool
to say roller coaster and cooler if I just say coaster?
No, you can say whatever you want. It's uncool either way. There's one in Amsterdam called the dog fart coaster. It's literally the whatever. I can't remember what the Dutch word for dog fart is, but it's themed to like you're being farted out of a dog's asshole.
Weird.
Yeah.
Have you been on it?
I haven't.
Do you want to go on it?
Yes. Yes, yeah. My dream is eventually to get the whole fam on a plane, go to Europe, and make a trip of this.
You got to do it.
The problem is, it's like, it's hard to get five people to agree on something. And like, this would really be for me.
That's so unfair. It is hard to get five people to agree on something. Well, how about your kids don't get a say because you own them?
I tell them this all the time. I'm always like, you know, this is my house, right? Like,
vacations are our parents' rules.
You're such an asshole.
Give me another name. I like Rita. I like Dog
There's one
fart.
Called Poltergeist.
That's my favorite
That's
one.
That's cool, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Are there any roller coasters / haunted houses?
No. Well, see, dark rides are a whole other thing.
Oh.
Dark ride enthusiasts. But there is, it's not a roller coaster, but there is this amusement park in Pennsylvania called Knoebels that has the most amazing old collection of like lovingly maintained rides. Like, these people are preservationists, and it's like my favorite place. And they have this haunted house that you ride in a little car on a track, and it's old school. Like, you go through this building and there's, you know, crash doors and like ghosts dropping from the ceiling. And it's like the most spooky, like retro.
I love it.
You feel like you're on a date in the 1940s. And like,
I love it too. Yes. I love haunted houses.
Yes,
like, I do Universal Studios every year.
Yeah, I love going to Universal.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love the Haunted Mansion at Disney. I'm like obsessive about it.
I've only been to the one in Disney World. I haven't been to Disneyland in years and years and years and years because I don't thrive on amusement parks.
I fully understand why most people dislike
them. It's a lot of daylight.
Super hot. Just slow moving crowds.
Yes.
Disneyland is so fucking packed, like 99% of the time, that it's actually hard to have an enjoyable day there.
It's expensive.
It is crazy expensive. With that said, I still go a few times a year.
So I have some questions that I wanted to ask you about your hobby. A lot of them we covered, like how did you start? What brought you to this hobby? One thing I want to know is, what do you wear when you go on a coaster? What's like the ideal coaster outfit?
You got to have a fanny pack because they always want you to stow your like personal belongings. And by the way, like fanny packs were not cool until like a couple years ago when suddenly it became like a thing to have like the Claire V bum bag or whatever.
Right.
But like I'm talking like a nylon fluorescent Walmart Disney family type fanny pack. That's but a must.
Okay.
When I go to water parks, which I do, despite the fact that they are dangerous and unregulated, I have a special waterproof pouch that I wear around my neck that I keep my phone in.
Love it.
Because I like to have my phone with me at all times.
Of course.
And I also wear like a burkini. Like I'll wear like a full fucking outfit because I do not, I'm not saying I have the hottest bod in the world, but I don't want to be sexualized by anyone at Raging Waters. Like I do not want a dad to even like take a glimpse.
What is your burkini? Like what, you're just wearing like jeans? Like,
no,
what are you
wearing? I have like a full rash guard. I have like long, like Bermuda shorts, like water so shoes, cute. The pouch, goggles, because if I'm going to be doing some head first racing slides, I need to keep the water out of my eyes.
Head first racing slides?
Yeah, they have the ones that you go down head first, like side by side, and you see who gets to the bottom faster. It's fun.
Yeah, that is fun. You're cool.
No.
I like this outfit. Do you wear Crocs? I do.
I do. I actually have a pair of the high-heeled like pumps that they made this year.
They did.
And so one of my really good friends is like obsessed with Crocs and like she got them for me and she has like many pairs and like we're unapologetic about it.
Yeah.
Like I fucking like Crocs.
It's a great shoe.
Yeah.
Yes. So that brings me to another question. You said with all of the hobbies, my favorite part has been researching.
Mm-hmm.
So what else have you researched?
I like to lurk on message boards on the internet where people are discussing very specific things.
Mm-hmm.
But like sometimes it'll be the most random shit you'll imagine.
Such
like
as?
I'll spend like hours hanging out on a board where people are talking about how to like repair pool filters. And I know that sounds really crazy, but it'll give me like deep satisfaction. Sometimes I'll spend days on one of these things.
But you're not interested in repairing it?
No. I don't want to personally do it, but I like knowing that I could. Or like it's really strange. And I've been doing this ever since I was a little kid. Like when I was a little kid, I was really into like trees. So like types of trees.
That's
but
so
it wasn't
sweet.
About being with the trees. I wasn't even a nature enthusiast. I didn't want to be outside. I just liked to make lists of types of trees that I had seen.
That's nice.
So
that's,
I just like
you
make,
like the knowledge. Yeah. I think a lot of bird watching.
And then it was
similar.
Birds. Mm-hmm. Then it was birds.
Oh, so you were into bird watching.
Yeah. So it pushes like a specific button in my brain that releases like oxytocin or something where I really like to accumulate knowledge on topics.
That's really cool and totally interesting and a very valid hobby. Like
it feels like a real waste of time. Like it feels like
I would say it's the opposite.
I don't know. I just wish I did more. I wish I was putting out more. I wish I was the person providing knowledge to others. And instead
Diablo
I'm
Cody,
just sucking it up.
You are one of the most prolific filmmakers. For every movie that you make, I'm like, I bet she had three other ones that she didn't make this year.
I think you're working a lot yourself.
I'm really not. That's why I'm doing a podcast, because I do too many hobbies. Like writing is...
That can only enrich your writing.
Thank you. I'd like to say that it's not procrastination. It's process. And I do write a lot, but it's not a hobby. It's work. And it's something that I have to do to make money. So like it used to be a hobby for me. It used to be creative and fun and make zines and write poetry. And
there was a time in my life where I was just, you know, making so much.
Right.
And I do feel like I've lost some of that. I don't know if that's like age. I don't know if I'm just
making so much like writing, like scripts
like, there
and
was
work.
When I was in my 20s and living in Chicago and working as like a secretary, I would just get home and write songs, write poems. And I know it sounds so corny, but like it was pleasure for me in a way that now there is like a weird survival element to creating because it's how I make my living and support my kids. So it does make it makes it feel like work a little.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it changes.
Yeah.
You
this
wanted
is a really
to
cool podcast.
Well, it's figuring itself out. It is also a hobby.
That's meta. The podcast is the hobby.
Also, I like talking to people.
Yeah.
And I like finding out like what you're into. Like, that's cool that you like cars and roller coasters. Two things I'm totally like, I have no interest in.
Yeah.
But I like figuring out, or I appreciate hearing like why you're so interested in those things. It's not that different. Like, controlled chaos is why I'm interested in certain things too. They're just so different, you know? Like, I love painting because of that reason, but it's so different. Cool stuff. Anyway, this is the end of our podcast. Okay, so for filling the void, I'm really interested in like weird hobbies that people are super obsessed with. And we have a toll-free number and you can leave a message. Please call us at 844-370-VOID. Leave a message. Tell me what your weird, awesome, delicious, obsessive hobby is, because I'm like, I just want more and more and more. And I like it when people are obsessed with weird shit. And you can rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends about Filling the Void. Bye.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.